everybody. Welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam, and here's Danielle.
Hi.
And this is not part two, but trial two of this episode. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a different idea for this episode at first, and we kind of, or you wrote it before this whole craziness, pandemic, coronavirus thing happened. Mm-hmm. So we decided to change it up a little bit and talk about what's going on with the virus with us and how it's affecting us. Just, you know, a little bit here, and we'll still continue with some of what we were originally going to talk about.
Well, it takes on a different form now because it takes on the form of you better fucking have laughter and humor right now to get through this. So originally we were going to talk about humor in the way that it's affected us. Now it's taking on a whole different meaning through all of this.
We were originally just going to discuss how humor has played a part in our lives and our relationship and our upbringing and all of that stuff. But now it's taken on such another major role that there's so much more that we want to talk about for humor because we need it now, right?
More than ever. Yep.
I just want to start off by thanking any of you who have been contacting us. For those of you who know that I run a retail business and you've asked how we're doing and what happened with the store, and I'll just kind of throw it out there real quick just to let you know the situation that we're in, because just like many of you out there, we are all feeling this together. It's very similar. Our stories are very similar, whether you run a business, you own a business, or you work for a business, we're all feeling this in the same ways. So I chose to voluntarily shut down the store on, what day is it?
Doesn't matter.
I didn't even.
It was light out.
Right. It's so hard to keep track of days.
Instead of hours now, we're just doing darkness or light. I did it when it was light out, or I did it when it was dark out. That's it.
Well, today is Sunday.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to gauge where I decided, you know, or you, I don't want to say forced me to make a decision, but we had a discussion. You wanted me to close the store, and I wanted to keep the store open, and I wanted to close the store, both for different reasons, which I'll discuss. So I decided to shut down the store on Thursday, which was...
Before we were told to by the governor.
Which was yesterday, so 3 days later.
It does. Okay. Yeah.
Fine. Sorry.
I know, but...
I got you. All right. But it was a very hard decision to have to make. I have employees. I have people who are depending on money from working, and we're a small business. We're not Apple. We're not Nike. We can't afford to pay people through something like this where we shut down the doors, and if there's no money coming in, there's no money to pay people. There's no money to pay ourselves. It's not that kind of lucrative business. So it was a very tough decision that I had to make, and how it's going to affect my people, how it's going to affect my family. And it was really scary, sad, emotional, like all these different feelings at the same time of what do I do? What's the right thing to do? I don't want to be affected by this virus. I don't want to be in contact with people, with customers, with employees. I don't want to bring it home to my family, but I need to support my family. My employees need to support themselves or their families. There's just so much racing around my mind. I just didn't know what to do.
Well, at one point I said to you, I was like, listen, I was like, you're, because I could tell you were distant and you had stuff going on in your mind, obviously, as we all do. And I said, I was like, you're going into work and you could bring it home or you could give it to somebody else. And your mom was still going to the store at that point and everything. And you looked at me and you're like, I haven't even really been able to consider the health risks of all of this yet because I'm so immersed in the how the fuck am I going to make any money?
Yeah.
So it was about a week ago that you were sort of like, oh my God, yeah, there's like a huge health risk involved in this. And just to juggle it all in our minds is so overwhelming.
Yeah, I got to the point where I was staying open to employ people. Mm-hmm. I had to cut the hours right away to only minimal staff so that I could at least support my day people that I know are supporting, you know, themselves as adults or their families or anything like that. But it got to the point where I was just staying open to support my employees, and that was it. We weren't doing the business to, you know, make a profit for the day or, you know, anything like that. So I had to make that decision where I said, I just can't do it anymore. So we had to close. And now 3 days later, we're in New Jersey. We're all forced, all non-essential businesses are forced to close.
Yeah, five states now.
So here we are.
Yeah. And, you know, on the other side of all of that, I know everyone is, your kids are home, you're homeschooling for the first time. I am homeschooling for the first time. It is not a pretty situation. My kids miss their teachers. I miss their teachers.
All right.
Shout out to all you teachers out there. I know some of their teachers listen to the podcast. So just know we appreciate you more than ever, even though we always did. But there's also, you know, I went to the food store yesterday morning, which is a totally different experience. It's amazing how quickly life changes. But the people who were stocking shelves were playing Bob Marley, Three Little Birds, you know, everything, every little thing is going to be all right. Yeah. And there was somebody greeting people at the front of the store, just smiling and making sure that you felt safe walking into the store. I mean, our son made a beautiful poster to hang in our window that just says we're all in this together. And people are delivering stuff to their, to their local hospitals, doctors, nurses, mailmen, garbage people. People are stepping up and doing the little things we can without being able to leave our homes. So everybody is sort of becoming a hero in all of this. And I thank you all for, whatever it is you're doing. The little acts mean more than we even know. And let's just keep those going and get through this, because those little acts add up to a lot. And I'm proud of all of us. I'm proud of what we've been doing. I'm proud of our kids.
They've not been bad.
They've been good.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to take it to that level, but they've not.
Well, yeah. It's still early. Let's see where we are in a week or two when we all turn into the Shining.
Exactly. Well, that's just how I was thinking. Because it's so funny, because Ian said to me yesterday, he said, "Dad, what's the Shining about?" And yeah. I was like, "Oh, you're gonna see."
Right.
I don't know where he pulled that out of, but yeah, he asked me, and it's just so funny, because I'm for the first time home. Besides a weekend where, it's kind of structured, now we're just home, quarantined.
Yeah.
So this is very different.
Right.
And I'm expected to be this camp counselor, and from three different sides. Dad, do you want to do this? And Dad, do you want to play this? And Dad, do you want to go outside? Dad, can I have?
Because that's it. We're their playmates. Oh, my God. That's it.
And I'm like, you have the internet still. Thank the Lord. We still have the internet. If anything should happen with that, mm-hmm, all hell will break loose.
Right.
But they've been good. And I feel bad when I get annoyed at certain things, because they're not being bad. They're just asking for too much.
They're kids.
I guess. But sometimes I just say, listen, mommy and daddy need to, we need our downtime too. We need to relax. No more asking for anything. If your hair is not on fire, please don't call my name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Oh, you're getting to know that mommy, 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 mommy feel.
I've heard a lot of daddy, daddies.
You have really stepped up. You've been great.
Thank you.
You really have.
I appreciate that.
You really have. You have been really stepping up and doing a lot, and I'm grateful for it. And we haven't killed each other yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Luckily, we have our separate rooms.
That is true.
That helps.
That does help.
So for anybody making fun or anybody who doesn't
get it. You're wishing you had one now, man. Yeah. Personal space, baby. Personal space. And I keep saying to my friends, I keep texting them, I'm like, you think I was touchy-feely with you before? Just wait.
When you see your best friends
when
later?
When I see my friends, it's just going to be like a fucking physical love fest.
Well, I saw that meme you posted. Was it a meme or just a GIF or whatever? Where there's two little kids run to each other.
It's going to be like that, only, oh my God, I'm not letting go. And I think a lot of you out there feel like that. One of the things I wanted to start with this humor episode was that, my God, in dark times comes the best content ever. Mm-hmm. Because it hasn't gotten old yet. I'll be posting things. I usually post on Instagram three or four times a day. And you try to break it up, into different categories, but right now there is just so much great quarantine humor that it's just not getting old yet. I mean, maybe it will, but it's all so incredible, and everyone's just stepping up. And I guess people whose jobs it is to be funny in the real world, who usually go out and are either stand-up comedians or whatever their regular profession is sort of on hold right now. So their only outlet is the internet. And so there has been so much incredible information. I mean, I am sending things to my friends left and right that maybe I can't post on Instagram.
Oh, really? You can't post on Instagram?
Well, if there's something that, you know, I just, I, if too I don't feel or? Like hearing the comment, you know, there's still the other people too who were working, who are now home, who have lots of opinions. Mm-hmm. There's the other side of that. So, I mean, most of our listeners I know are not those people, but I have to be a little bit selective because I also don't, I can't be monitoring, like, I'm monitoring my kids right now. I can't be monitoring people who post, like, who post stupid comments under my posts, so mm-hmm. I have to be a little bit selective.
Yeah, I want to discuss a little bit about humor right now in these kinds of situations, because it really is so important to laugh. I mean, if I may, and be scientific for a second here.
Oh,
we all know that laughter really is a powerful force, really within our bodies. I mean, when we laugh, you know, our bodies release endorphins and dopamine, all those feel good, you know, chemicals in our body that just are like during sex or during, you know, even when you're doing drugs, like these things are just released to make you feel good. Laughter is one of them, mm-hmm. and we need it. It really helps us cope better with stress. If we can just laugh for a second or a few, you just start to feel better. Even though nothing goes away, nothing's wrong. I mean, I'm sorry, not that nothing's wrong. Those things are still there. Just that laughing, just watching something that's funny, you know, having a funny conversation with somebody else, it helps.
Oh,
it
yeah.
helps with the coping.
Yeah, and there's no better feeling than that feeling of laughter when, you know, you can't even control yourself. Like, you're just, you can't breathe, you can't, you know, your face hurts. And
yeah.
there's no better feeling than that. And it's like, it's like they say, you know, even if you fake a smile to someone, something happens inside of you and something is released inside of you. And all of a sudden, you can just start to feel happier. Like, the science of that, it's the same thing with laughter. It's contagious. It really is. Mm-hmm. And if we're doing it, if we're putting it out there, and it's not so easy right now. It might not be easy for everybody to laugh. You know, I was thinking about, this isn't the only time I've been quarantined, because when I was having my OCD, you know, attack or meltdown or whatever you want to call it, when I was pregnant with Mia, I self-quarantined myself. I was literally like a prisoner in my parents' house. I moved out with us for a couple months, and I moved in with my parents, and I really was quarantined. I know I didn't want anybody coming in. I didn't go out. My parents would have to force me even to take a walk around our street, my parents' street, to get out. And I couldn't laugh. I really couldn't. Back then it was, that I felt like nobody was connecting with me because nobody could understand what I was going through at the time. I felt that this is a little bit different because we're all going through the same thing, which is a nice connector. And so we have a common enemy to laugh at, which is great.
Yeah, it takes that I'm alone feeling out of the equation, mm-hmm. and it's not just me, mm-hmm. and like, you don't think to yourself, am I crazy, am I whatever. Yeah. No, this is just what it is. And I also just wanted to say, in my own opinion here, so this is not scientific in any way, I just feel that joking and humor really are appropriate during times like this, and making light of these heavy things is just helping us all cope together. I know there's people suffering, and we're not making jokes at any victims. Nobody's laughing at the victims.
No, of course
we're laughing
not.
At the situation at a whole. So for anybody out there who is suffering, and people are dying, and people are really sick, that's not what we're laughing at. That's not what the jokes are about. We're just finding our common ground to say, hey, listen, we're all in this situation.
Yeah.
Here's a funny picture of my toilet paper, you know, made into a smiley face on my toilet bowl or something like that.
Really? That's what you pick?
I just made that up.
That's the funniest thing you can
come
up with?
I just made it up on top of my head. Like, there's so many funny things. I'm just saying, like,
right.
We're just finding humor in the situation yeah. as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely.
So please don't think we're laughing at victims or mm-hmm. people who are truly sick.
Yeah, and humor has always, throughout the ages, you know, gotten people through hard times. And, you know, you think about Bob Hope and what he did during World War II and the USO and him going to different places and doing his stand-up in support of the military. And movies that have come out and the greatest art that has come out of all of these hard times. And I know that during the Depression, people would meet by the radio because that's what it was. It was radio back then, and sit around the radio and wait for their shows to come on, and, you know, their programs or whatever they, whatever you called them back
then. Bring up those old school terms.
And it did. It helped people get through some of the darkest times. And that connection is really what is the biggest part of it all. So, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, you know, Mark Twain said that humor is tragedy plus time. So when something stressful happens, ask, well, will I think any part of this is funny in a week or a month? And give yourself permission to experience that reaction now. It's okay. And the fact that, you know, we do ultimately find humor in things. You know, there's stuff that I think about from, you know, I can laugh at my OCD now. I couldn't laugh at it when I was going through it. I wish I could have. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. But this is something that fortunately we can all laugh at together. And it is one way that we can get through. So
yeah, it's funny. It just popped into my head. Like, I guess to relate that to a normal situation, like if you're walking down the driveway and you slip and you fall, nobody's around, it's not really funny. It hurt, you know? But when you tell the story 2 weeks later,
yeah,
it's hilarious.
Absolutely.
So when you look back, it was, so laugh now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There are times in my life where things have been really, really scary. And now I look back and it's kind of hilarious. But at the times they weren't.
Yeah, and there's a reason why if you go online and everybody's now searching, what should I binge watch? What should I, you know, you're always going to find comedy movies and people are recommending comedy, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody says go watch Outbreak, right?
Although our friend did that. One day when this first started, she watched Contagion and Outbreak and then called me after and was like, maybe that wasn't a good idea. And I was like, no shit, that wasn't a good idea. What kind of fucking monster are you that you watch those movies back to back?
Right.
And then that's, you're funny, like, maybe that wasn't a good idea. I started watching Hunters
which
I know you did too. And I had to stop. It's a wonderful show.
It is good. I like
it. It's so good, but I can't watch it right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's too many depressing underlying,
right, but there was also a meme that was like, I don't care if this quarantine goes on for 6 fucking years, I will not watch one episode of Friends. I refuse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because that's like everybody's go-to. But Schitt's Creek is getting me through. You know, those are great episodes.
That'll get you through anything. That's such a good show.
Yeah, whereas I usually like dramas and stuff, I'm definitely turning more to comedy right now.
I don't know how to make memes. But
oh boy.
Can you use this and make a meme from
this? No, I cannot. I will tell you now. No.
I thought it was funny to me.
Yeah, well, that doesn't say much.
I know. I don't know how to do it. I think it would be funnier visually with a picture behind it. Like, because when you just say it into the mic here, it's not going to be very funny. But I thought it was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No. Ready? No, but this is like simple, like just clean humor.
Oh.
Oh, clean humor. Ready for this?
Yeah.
And it was funny that I said that. Now that I got all these wipes, I actually have to fucking clean.
What?
Now that I got all these wipes, like people are buying wipes off the shelves, uh-huh, everywhere, now I actually have to fucking clean.
Yeah, there's a reason why you don't make memes.
Oh, damn it.
That's,
I thought
it,
that was clever and
no,
funny.
No, I mean, sure.
I thought that would be funny for you because you would say, oh, I have to fucking clean now that I have all these wipes laying around the house.
Maybe.
See, it's not funny when you say it like this.
Right.
But if it was a meme, it would be funny.
Okay, you could start making some memes.
No, I'm not.
On your own account. You're not putting them anywhere near Marriage and Martinis, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, wait, I have another one.
Okay.
Ready? Uh-huh. You know what goes great with the coronavirus? Lyme's disease.
Oh. God. Did you really make that up?
I kind of did. I saw something similar.
So and, wrong and that it's
twisted
right.
It around and made
so
it my
wrong,
own.
It's right.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that is pretty good. It reminds me of my grandfather when he was older and he got Parkinson's disease, and he was always such a funny guy. And he would make this joke to anybody when it got very evident that he had Parkinson's disease and he was shaking a lot. And he would say to people, did you hear about the guy in the nursing home who had 2 girlfriends in the nursing home? And his friend asked him, which one do you like better? And he said, oh, I like Rose better. And his friend said, why? And he said, because her hand shakes.
I know. I can't laugh from, surprise because I know the joke. But
yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Does
I
that make sense? Is everyone out there going to understand what his hand?
Yeah, we all get it. We want the nurse's hand to shake while she's
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And this is one of the reasons why I say to my kids, especially now, make sure you marry somebody or with somebody, have a partner who makes you laugh. Because it is really important, and especially, you don't know when you're going to be fucking quarantined together.
Right.
And you better be able to make each other laugh, because in some ways that is the most important thing. And I think we're also showing our kids, and I hope, you know, other people are showing your kids, if you are able to laugh right now, if you are not, you know, if I know sometimes it's just not, it's just not possible. But, you know, if you are able to show people how that laughter can get us through. And, you know, I think our kids are seeing that we're still able to make each other laugh now. And that's important.
Let's take a break. We have to take it's already 20 minutes in. So okay. we have to take a quick break. We will be right back.
I'm so glad I tried Feels a few months ago, back before all of this started, when I was just at my regular anxiety level. Now I'm at my super hyped anxiety level, and I'm so glad that Feels is there to really help me just take it down a notch every day, especially now that the kids are homeschooling and I have all this added stress. And CBD is a natural way to help reduce your stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. You place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. If you're new to CBD, just like I was, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience. It really is the best way to naturally help yourself feel better. And the best part, Feels delivers straight to your door. You don't have to go anywhere and pick it up, straight to your door every month. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/M&M, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, feals.com/M&M, to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/M&M. Right now, we can't go to escape rooms or amusement parks or movie theaters, but that doesn't mean that there isn't great entertainment that we can still be a part of as a family or even as a date night after the kids are asleep. And Hunt a Killer is such a fun way to make this happen. And life right now is not what it usually is, but Hunt a Killer is still here to make sure that we get quality time together as a family in a fun way that makes it feel almost like a night out. Even if you and your partner just want to have a date night right now and you can't go out, Hunt a Killer is the perfect way to do it. With each delivery, you'll sift through piles of documents, evidence, audio recordings, and case files, eliminating suspects and identifying murder weapons until you crack the case and catch the killers. It's like an escape room delivered right to your door. And if you're a detective that prefers to work solo, Hunt a Killer is designed that you can play your way, be it alone, with your cat, with your whole crew. And don't worry, you can join their spoiler-free community with 100,000 members to help each other solve difficult puzzles and talk about true crime, which is a great way to connect right now. So right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/marriage and put in promo code marriage to get 20% off your first box. That's huntakiller.com/marriage and put in promo code marriage for 20% off your first box. There's been no better time to start having Hunt a Killer delivered to your doorstep to make our nights a little bit more fun and full of connection. I asked about the Corona and Lime joke that you made before, if it was your original content or
not. I said it was not.
I know, but I'm saying I asked that because I can remember when we first started dating, and one of the things that I was really attracted to you about from the start was your humor, and I thought you were so funny. And I can remember on like our first or second date, sitting down at a bar, and you just ripping off one joke after the other. And I was just like obsessed. I just sort of thought to myself, like, he is so fucking funny. Meanwhile, no original content in there whatsoever.
Did you think they were mine?
I, it's not that I thought that you didn't so much as like come out and say they weren't yours.
I was trying to impress you.
I assumed that they were, but I just remember thinking to myself that like, God, his delivery is so good. Like, you know, the way that other girls probably think about, you know, I don't know what else, but
I don't know.
I don't know what else you, but I just remember, to me, that was like so sexy and so attractive, and I loved it.
Do you remember the jokes?
I remember some of them, none of which could be repeated on here, and none of them should.
They could,
none of them should be repeated in the 21st century because back then, you know, they were definitely. Now, if someone told it to me, I'd probably be like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" Like
right.
That is so. But it was a different time, a different era, and humor, I think, has changed. But yeah, I just, you know, that was one of the things that first attracted me to you. And and growing up, you know, I said with my grandfather, what I called my Zeta, he was always so freaking funny, and he had such inappropriate humor. And there was nothing that he wouldn't say to us or show us to get a laugh. He used to get Playboy delivered to his house every once a month, you know, for the articles. Everybody gets them delivered.
But
for
did
the,
all dads and grandpas back then? I feel like Playboy was
my dad.
Every
never
house.
Had Playboy.
Your dad, I get. I understand that he didn't have it. He's too serious
think,
for
I,
that.
I don't know. That we could do a poll about that. Did your household have Playboy growing up? But
there was Playboy in my dad's room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was typical.
But Playboy was just, I mean, it was so compared to what else is out there. Like today there's YouPorn. You know what I mean? Like back then, Playboy was just.
I know, but Playboy, the thing about YouPorn is that after your kids go to sleep, you can go and watch
yeah,
YouPorn.
I know, but
back then it was like a Playboy sitting on the back of your toilet and a guest came over and they were like, oh, he has Playboy.
No,
or she has Playboy.
They're very intellectual because those articles are very well written.
Well, they are, actually. It's true. And I do know that. But, you know.
No, but I'm saying
that's
it was just
the first thing you
it
think.
It was so tame compared to what's available
yeah,
today.
Yeah, sure. And it's fine. Yeah. And, you know, great. Get Playboy. But we're also talking 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it was, it was a different time. But I just remember being like, Zeta, you know, me and my cousin saying, Zeta, you know, you shouldn't be looking at those dirty magazines. And he would open it up with like a, you know, a nude cover model and be like, you see how clean she is? She bathes every day. She's very clean.
Right.
And like, and my mom was never like, don't do that. I mean, it was just
different times.
Different times. Yeah. And his humor was, and he had us cracking up. And he also, you know, I remember he used to come over and fill his glass with scotch, like all the way to the top. He was a very big drinker. And we would always have scotch in the liquor cabinet for him, the kind that he liked. And he would fill it all the way to the top and put a tiny drop of water in and say, I only put the scotch in to kill the bacteria in the water. Like, he just had so many, you know, like what I'll call like zingers.
Zingers. Are you a boomer?
I am not a boomer, but I am.
You know what's funny
zingers.
About that? That reminds me of a story my roommate back in high school who told me his grandfather would, I think, do the same thing, like fill a like a tall glass of scotch or whiskey.
And cut it with water.
No, he would say, he doesn't put water in his scotch, and so he said to his grandfather, like, you know, well, why don't you use water? Not that he knew what he was talking about, but if you're saying you don't use water, why don't you put water in? And he said, because fish fucking water, it's dirty.
Right. I mean,
like those kinds of old time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we would go to his house with my grandmother too, and she didn't have quite the same humor as it, but she appreciated his humor, and we would go to his house, and we would put on he always had on, you know, the Three Stooges, or like we learned a lot about humor from him. He would always be watching some kind of funny show. You know, he was obsessed with MASH, as every single person was in the 1970s and early 80s. He just, you know, his house was really the stories my mom tells. And for those of you who listen to the episodes with my mom, she has a really good sense of humor and is really funny. So I grew up really with, you know, with humor being a really important part of my life. And I grew up with a brother and a sister who were really smart, got really good grades. And I think, first of all, as a younger child, I personally think the youngest child is usually the funniest. But as a youngest child, I will say that. But also, I think it was my way of claiming my identity. I was, you know, I was the comic relief. I was the funny one. I was the, people expected that of me. And so, you know, the expectation lied in like not me not having to get such great grades in school, but it, you know, I was funny. So
but that doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because you're not funny.
Right. I know you've never thought I was
you're
funny.
Not, I don't think you're funny.
You have never thought I was funny.
Even if I thought you were a little funny, I'm not going to admit it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You're
people
not funny.
Do think I'm funny.
Well, you're relatable. You're not funny.
Oh. All right. Is there a difference?
All right, maybe a little. Maybe you're a little funny.
Yeah, you would never even
no,
say
no, but I'm not going to admit if you're really funny.
Do you feel like, and for everybody out there, do you feel like you are, you tend to be drawn to people who are either who are funny? Like, do you feel like in your life you just tend to just like to be around people who are funny more? Or is that something for you that is important?
For me, absolutely. I always was, because I was just like you. I mean, I was the youngest kid, but I was the youngest of two. So it wasn't quite, you know, to the level because you're the third. But I was always funny. I was always like kind of halfway class clown, making jokes, and you know that I always surrounded myself with people who I thought were funny. We can always joke back and forth with. So that was always a big part of my personality and personalities that I tried to pursue. You know, I yeah. wanted to be around like that. That meant a lot to me. That mm-hmm. that's kind of what I wanted to be around. Mm-hmm. So I always found humor as being maybe sometimes too much for myself, but I always find the humor in kind of everything, which I think sometimes annoys the shit out of you, but I think sometimes it's helped you.
Well, yes. Oh, 100%. Your humor has helped me in so many times, and you are so good at lightening the mood. And I am certainly, as much as I think, you know, I have a great sense of humor, I am certainly the worrier in our relationship.
Very much so.
And you can calm me down from that. But sometimes your humor, especially when we're around other people, is a little like inappropriate, not in like, I don't give a shit about sexual inappropriateness or anything, but bordering on inappropriate in ways that I find offensive. So, you know, sometimes.
Well, I never know. Like, I know if you're in
what,
like,
what's appropriate.
Yeah. Like, no, not with people, but like with you, just you and I never know when is the right time to, you know, make the joke or joke about the situation, because I know it's either going to be like slam dunk
right.
or I'm in the shitter for like
well,
a week.
Well, it probably all depends if I have my period or not.
Exactly. So there's so many different kinds of situations where I don't know is the joke the right time, and I don't know if I should or shouldn't.
Right.
And I do anyway.
Yeah.
And
no, it's usually the right time.
I figure either, look, I'm going to win one for the team or mm-hmm. I'm going to be in the shit house.
Right. So. You just, you know, there's certain things you never joke about. Weight, you never joke about eating too much. You never joke about, you know, like you do sometimes though.
I do. What?
Well, I mean, like about my eating and stuff, you definitely have made jokes.
Well, that's easy to joke about.
Right.
So
I eat too much. It's okay. but
wait, what was that one that you put something out there? Is it either a meme or something like that? Where,
about Oreos?
Yeah, it was an Oreos thing.
Yeah, I wrote that for a company one time. Prayers for my husband who just, when I took out 6 Oreos, he said, aren't you on a diet? And like,
right.
You're never supposed to say that to a woman.
Right.
Ever.
If you were funny, that would have been funny.
Right. Especially being quarantined together. You eat whatever the fuck you want, people.
Oh my God.
There are no rules.
Right now? I had a cup of noodles last night.
like the actual cup o' noodles.
Cup o' noodles, yes.
Yeah.
Like the literal like 70-cent pack cup of noodles.
I think that's good quarantine food though.
I stocked up on.
Listen, anything goes right now.
Listen, just so you guys understand, I have access to the best shit food ever because of my business, and I have, you know, these distributors that send product to like mini marts and Wawa's and all those kinds of stores. So I have access to like Pop-Tarts and cup of noodles and ramen noodles and Oreos. And so I got boxes of mm-hmm. shit mm-hmm. and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to eat what you got to eat right now. But I am definitely really attracted like to people who are funny. I think a sense of humor is so attractive. And I was recently listening to Oprah interviewing Amy Schumer, and Oprah asked her, I don't know if I'm saying this exactly correct, but she asked her if someone needs to be funny in order to be close to them. Like she was saying to Amy Schumer, like, is that a deal breaker for you if someone's not funny? And Amy Schumer said, yes, kind of, or they have to be really great at laughing and, you know, at appreciating humor, even if, like, there are certain people that maybe aren't particularly funny in my life, but love to laugh, appreciate the same kind of humor, appreciate my humor. And, you know, so even if you're not a funny person, it is it just being able to laugh and being able to understand a good joke, I think, is also a really, like, you know, it's a common bond. And it's,
well, yeah. So it's somebody on the other end who not going to make a joke, but right. are there to laugh at whatever yeah. and genuinely laugh.
And a great laugh is a great. Yeah.
I mean, well,
thing.
As a comedian, not me as a comedian, but somebody who is a comedian, you need that to feed off of.
Yeah.
If you're in a comedy club to feed off those laughs. Right. And that's what makes it funny.
Yeah, and there are certain people who have a great laugh. I'm trying to think right now of, like, who has a great laugh.
Well, that was part of...
Oh,
We go back to the jokes that I was telling you. Those were Jackie Martling jokes. You know, he used to be on the Howard Stern Show, and he went off on his own to do, you know, stand-up comedy. And most of the jokes that I would tell you were his, but his laugh... It was an infectious, either like you hated it or you loved it. And that was part of the joke, was his laughing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of it. Like you, like them laughing and you laughing. It's just feeding off each other.
My favorite SNL skits are always the ones where they start laughing, where they're just, it's so fucking funny that they can't like help but start laughing. Like there's been ones I know with, you know, when Chris Farley and David Spade were doing ones. Oh. I think Chris Farley like peed his pants once by accident or something, and David Spade just starts hysteric. I mean, those are just so great. And so those are my favorites.
By the way, we have to take another break, but everybody who's listening, we have some really great sponsors for this episode that are perfect for this time and this situation and when we're all stuck inside and quarantined. Please listen to these ads and participate if you're able to. Some of them are free. There are some apps.
And they're mostly small businesses.
Yeah. So we're trying to support everybody out there right now. Mm-hmm. These small businesses especially. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. So check this out and we'll be right back.
Right now, a lot of our regular routines, I keep saying it again and again, but it's just the truth. Our regular routines are not, you know, just not a thing we're able to do right now, which means we're at home right now, baking brownies with the kids, snacking, doing a lot of popcorn at night for movie night, and that's all okay and awesome. But we still want to do things that are going to keep our bodies healthy in the long run. So even if right now we're not eating kale salads and drinking green smoothies, and maybe we're not getting all of our essential nutrients we need on a daily basis, Ritual is here to help. It's an essential for women, a multivitamin reimagined. For all of you obsessive label readers, all of Ritual's vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergy-free ingredients and their sources are out there for the whole world to see. Ritual is delivered right to your doorstep, and a subscription is easy to start. It's also easy to pause, and it's only $1 a day to have all of your essential nutrients your body needs, delivered every month, no strings attached. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. That's 10% off a delivery straight to your door every month. Visit ritual.com/MNM to start your ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/MNM. If you're going through anything like infertility, miscarriage, even just motherhood in general, it could feel very isolating sometimes, especially now. And Peanut is an app that is here to help you connect with other women, other moms, other women going through similar things by creating online communities, groups, and even just messaging each other and sharing your experiences. For new moms who are feeling isolated, this is really coming to the rescue, because you can meet other moms online who have gone through anything that you've gone through, and you'll know that you can connect and share your experiences. Search for Peanut in your app store right now and get the app that has been covered by the New York Times, Fortune, BBC, Vogue, and all of them say that this is an app to the rescue for women who are feeling alone. Go to Peanut in your app store right now and download.
I want to talk a little bit about stand-up comedians, because I have a special place in my heart for stand-up comedy. I've always been such a huge fan. I remember, I don't know what year it was, when Comedy Central was first introduced as being a new channel on TV. I guess that shows how old I am right now for anybody.
Sure does.
But I thought it was going to be stand-up comedy only, and I was so excited about that. And it turned out to be a lot of that anyway. But I love stand-up comedy. And just to say, you know, my favorite of all time, George Carlin, obviously we've said that before. But do you have any ideas or who you would think of today? Like, who would be the perfect person to come on stage today to talk about the coronavirus and self quarantining mm-hmm. and the separation of people? And because the last one that I just saw, I looked on Google, Norm Macdonald did a recent stand-up show maybe a week ago. So that was before this whole thing was as serious as it is today, because a week makes a big difference. And he did a quick 5-minute bit about coronavirus, and it was great. It was really funny. So I was just wondering, who do you think would be perfect right now to come on stage and talk about everything?
Well, I was thinking, first of all, George Carlin, first of all, would be amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever listened to Leslie Jones. She was on SNL.
Yeah, of
she
course.
Was in you know, Ghostbusters or anything. Yeah. And I love her so much. If you've ever listened to her commentary on, like, when the Olympics were going on, she did, or the World Cup was going on, she did from her Instagram, like, a live commentary. You know, she would turn the sound off and do commentary. And she was just, I love her. I think she's incredible. But, you know, a lot of celebrities are doing that right now in their own way, in short snippets. They are putting out content, you know, on their Instagram or their Twitter, or just hilarious stuff. And honestly, it's giving a platform to people who, I mean, there are videos that have come out that are so freaking hilarious of people I never knew before, comedians I never knew before, who are kind of getting a time to sort of shine without having to get up and tour and, you know, be in front of a studio audience, or just these that are getting their name out in some ways. It's a nice time for people who maybe we didn't know about to make a voice themselves.
This is a really hard time for comedians, because you can't be in a venue, you can't be in front of an audience. And honestly, like, half of being a stand-up comedian is being in front of interacting, like we just talked about before. You need the laughter, you need the interaction, and they can't have that now. So it's all done via either YouTube or Zoom, or interacting those ways. So it's really hard to be a comedian right now. You don't have that.
I don't know. I mean, there's so much.
But it's not on paper. It's not as fun. Like, when you're reading something that's funny, it's like not even close to as funny as it is when you see them perform it.
I guess right now is going to be, we're going to find out who the best improvs are. You know, we're going to find out who the best, I think people are going to come forward, and you're going to find, voices who are going to see us through this and be, you know, you look at like a Tom Hanks, not that he's being so funny right now, but he is a voice through all of this. And he's after this, you're going to remember that, you know, he was there and he told us what he was going through. And there are going to be people like that who, after this is all done, you know, you think about 9/11. I always think about 9/11 and listening to Howard Stern that day and how he didn't mm-hmm. leave. And I've oftentimes thought about that with him, that he was a real, you know, he helped get me through that morning and that day. And I think you're going to find that. And look, maybe there are some who we're not going to hear from, because who knows what they're going through personally, and, you know, not to hold it against anybody.
Well, we haven't heard from Howard since.
Yeah, he's going to be on, I think, tomorrow. I think he starts again.
But he was off last week when this was all
Everybody's
happening.
Trying to just figure it out right now. Mm-hmm. But I hear from him because I follow Beth Stern on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
I'm not holding it against him, trust
right,
me.
But, right,
you know, he was a germaphobe to begin with. So this
right.
probably.
Right. Well, everybody. And everyone's just being told to stay home. I mean, I know they're all in their isolated booths and Robin's behind the glass
yeah.
and everything. So in some ways, they had it right from the beginning. But I think we're going to figure out, you know, we're going to hear from some new voices and some new content creators. And listen, it's all horrible. And like I said, we can't wait for the day when we can go out and hug each other and this is all done. But there are little silver linings everywhere.
Do you think like introverts and germaphobes are like shouting hell yeah right now, like out there?
Well, you know, there's been
like so happy.
So many memes. No, I think germaphobes are freaking the fuck out right now.
But if they're home and contained on purpose, but, yeah, right now.
But it's still, sometimes it's not that logical.
Right, I'm not trying to be realistic about this. Right. I'm just making a joke.
Right, but I do think that, that, you know, there were so many of us making memes about how we wanted to stay home and nobody wanted to go out on a Saturday night or whatever. Now we're sort of like, well, right, let's slow the fuck down with all that. Being home might be overrated too. There's all this like going out is overrated. I don't know. Being home is a little overrated.
You know what's the most underrated thing right now in existence? Cleaning people. Being stuck at home with dogs and kids and like you don't realize we had people like
I mean, there's so many people to appreciate through all of this,
right? Things you don't think about that you take advantage of every day.
Yeah, and a different set of heroes. You know, I mean, I know the doctors and nurses are heroes, but you know, the garbage men right now, and the people working in the food stores, and you know, these unlikely heroes that you don't think about who are actual heroes right now.
All right, speaking of the food stores, that just reminded me of a funny.
Oh boy, we'll decide. GIF. We will be the deciders of whether or not it's
I'm
funny.
I'm getting all these funny. Did you get the one where somebody texted me, like when you text a video, so all you see is a picture with the play button on the top of it, and all they said was, check out this fight I saw in the store. And so, that sounds fun. I want to see this. So you click on it, and so it starts out as a line at the store. And then it just quickly transfers to this.
A guy with a huge penis.
Either a guy with a huge penis or a girl farting and you see the asshole open up and fart.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And then it's Dave Chappelle like, gotcha, bitch. And then it goes, and then it's done.
Because people have just too much time on their hands
so
right now.
It's so good.
I know.
Thank you for you, whoever create these things.
I know. They're getting us through. These are the people who are going to get us through. The meme creators and the... Yeah, and like I said, it's not getting old yet. It's, you know, it just is. It's all great. And,
yeah.
Keep it coming, guys. There's so many things that we can do right now, you know, to make each other smile and to make each other laugh. And yeah, and I want to thank everybody for sticking around through all of this and listening. And we're gonna do our best to be here for everybody through it all. And, you know, we're going to keep showing up and our head hopefully will, you know, it's not 100% in anything right now, as I think is very relatable for everybody, but we're going to keep showing up for you. And on Instagram, I'm there constantly trying to find the best content, to share with you guys, both heartfelt and hilarious. If you have a minute, which I know most of us do right now, and you want to rate and review, now would be a great time to do it.
You have a lot of time.
You have a lot of time to do that right now. You can go back and listen to old episodes of ours that you maybe haven't heard before.
Wait, all right. So what's the funniest episode that we ever released that we can tell people to go listen to?
In my opinion, my favorite, my personal favorite is Things We're Embarrassed to Admit.
Oh, that's your favorite episode?
I don't remember what number that is.
Probably old.
Not like that old, but it's pretty old. That was one of my favorites.
What was one of my favorites that was funny, I thought, in the beginning?
Oh, the vacations.
Vacation. Yeah, the extreme
and exotic
vacation. Yeah, go listen to that one. That one was funny.
It was fun. Although, it's hard sometimes, though, right now, like to listen to those episodes because no one's going on any extreme or exotic vacations
but it was funny.
Right now.
But honestly, listen to any of our first episodes. It's just funny to listen to us back then anyway.
Right. See the evolution. There is one. It might be wrong. It might be a de-evolution that's happened.
Do you remember, Howard Stern made fun of his own progression with his voice on the mic.
Yeah.
Like, remember in his movie when he started out with this like high pitched, like trying to be a whatever. Like, I've listened back to our old episodes and I'm like, damn.
I won't listen.
It's bad.
No, I won't listen. I refuse.
It's funny.
I don't like to listen to any episodes.
I will never. I don't listen to our episodes. I hear myself right now talking to the mic, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah. If you have any like ideas for episodes that you want, please send them our way because, you know, our content has changed a little bit since this is all happening. We have a lot of episodes set up, but some we might wait a little bit to put out. So we're always looking for new, fresh content. I was going to say something else. Oh, if you want to share us with your friends, you know, right now we close the store. You know, this is what we're doing and we want to do it to keep connecting with everybody. But it's also a way to support, you know, support your podcasters, support people putting the content out right now, working hard to keep everybody entertained through this. And we love you and thanks for showing up.
Yeah, very much. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
But besides all that, if there's anything else out of the ordinary that you think would be fun that we could get involved with, either
games. We're always looking for games.
Well, I'm just saying to, you know, interact with people.
That's like, what I'm saying. Games. Oh, lives.
Yeah, yeah. Like
right.
Do lives or talk to you guys or do
because people like our game episodes.
Whatever we could do to interact, that would be great. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So give us some ideas.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. In this time, everybody say safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Mm-hmm. Love you guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, love you. Bye.